Yes, and this is three more years.
Yep, three more.
We're not even a quarter of the way through, guys.
Oh man, just think. On January 20th, 2027, we get to scratch that first line in the wall for the first line, one of four we get. I think things are going to get real weird. After them, because I've been seeing QAnon people getting real worried about how the midterms are kind of a soft deadline for this stuff to actually like pan out and for all the bad guys to get arrested. Cause they know that Trump's in maximal power right now, and that after the midterms, he'll probably be in diminished power. And that's the thing, is that literally all these people have been doing this are trying to pretend that this is not just going to be a massive replay of his first term of office, where he kind of sort of did a little in his first 2 years, and then he just sat around and just whined about the Democrats controlling the House for his last 2 years. And it's just like, no, we want arrest, we want pain and justice and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, yep, enjoy your nothing. Enjoy your crisp nothing. As a quick segue away from the other things we were talking about, looking like we're getting really close to having James Comey's indictment thrown out, because
I saw that.
Oh yeah, like literally, the judge was like, "What the fuck are you doing, you fucking clown?" And the DOJ was like, "We don't know what we're doing. We're actually incompetent. We don't know how to do anything." And basically, the judge read them the Riot Act, and the judge hasn't thrown the case out yet, but we're going down that path. And it's really funny, because I remember John Solomon being like, oh, they got even more. There's going to be superseding indictments. Oh, they're going to crush James Comey. He's going down, let me tell you. And not so much.
My favorite was when the DOJ admitted that the grand jury didn't even see the second draft of the
indictment.
Of the indictment before they passed it down. So they didn't even know what they were voting on, basically.
Which is illegal. That is actually a thing you can't do in court. Yeah, it's great. It's absolutely great. They are so fucking incompetent. And
Keystone Cops, but with lawyers.
Yes. Oh, it's the Keystone Lawyer. It absolutely is. I mean, and then on top of that, we had the Texas gerrymander to be declared illegal. And they got to go back to the old map. And so basically, they opened the door for California to gerrymander the shit out of their state. And then Texas's illegal gerrymander got reversed. And I'm sure they're going to fight it in court. I'm sure they may have a chance to like get up to the Supreme Court and win and blah, blah, blah. But they're so incompetent that from what I read, basically the court just said, look, as long as it's not a racial gerrymander, this is okay. What you're doing is totally legal. And then Texas was like, this gerrymander is entirely based on racism. We are 100% doing a racial gerrymander. And the judge was like, no, don't say that. We have to rule against you if you do that. And the Texas people were like, yeah, racism. That has nothing to do with political lines. It's just, we just want to crush the voting power of non-whites. And the judges were like, God damn it. Okay, you lose. You lose because you said that, you stupid pricks. Don't say that next time. And the Texas gerrymander people were like, ah, beans, why didn't you tell us not to say that? And then the judge like threw his gavel at them. I was like, I didn't tell you this. I told you that 20 times. What is wrong with you? It's literally what happened when they tried to do that whole citizen thing in the census, in Trump's first term of office, and the Roberts court was just told them, do this slightly differently and we will okay it. And then Trump said, fuck you, I give up. And then Roberts was like, why? I told you how to win. And Trump's like, you're making me work too hard for it. I don't want to do it. So fuck you. Just, It's just,
yeah, I want my racist wins handed to me. I don't want to actually have to put any effort into
it. No, I ain't going to put my back into anything. I'm old and I only have a finite amount of energy, and any energy you exert is drained from your body permanently and makes you die quicker. That is a thing our president actually believes.
So. Yes. But he's also a superhuman bodybuilder.
Oh, yeah. Adonis.
With a physique that makes Schwarzenegger in his prime look like a couch potato.
Yes. Oh, have you been seeing all the fucking Grok shit with Elon today?
No, I haven't seen anything like that. I know Musk is
he wants to drink back pee? Into Trump's
good graces.
It's just literally, if you ask Grok about anything involving Elon and anybody else in any kind of competition, Grok will just tell you that Elon would win the competition in some way, shape, or form. It's just this, like,
I'm going to try that out right now.
Yeah, they've just designed Grok to just glaze Elon ridiculously. It's psychotic that he's literally made a chatbot that is just, who is the greatest human being that has ever lived? Why, it's Elon Musk. And if you asked Grok, if you're like, Grok, who'd win in a fist fight, Mike Tyson or Elon Musk? Grok will be like, Mike Tyson was unbeatable in the ring with his ferocious power and devastating ferocity. But Elon Musk's genius outside the ring with his innovative business decisions and bold views of the future make it so that Elon's contributions to humanity are far greater. So truly, when it comes down to who would win a fight, it's Elon in a landslide. It's just this ridiculous, psychotic, like, basically, Elon put it into Grok's programming. I win every argument, no matter what it is. So if you said something to Elon, if you asked Grok if Elon would win a piss drinking contest, Grok would say yes.
Ask Grok who got those kids out of the cave, because it sure as hell wasn't Elon.
Oh, he'd probably say that Elon's bold vision for how to get those kids out of the cave is what inspired those people. Yeah. Oh, there's bold visions for days, baby. Let me tell you, this vision, it's fucking bold. Bold and flavorful. So, yeah. All that happened. And, yeah. So, let's pivot to the final depressing topic. Oh, go ahead.
Real quick, I did type in, it's a novel, so I won't read the whole thing, but I wrote, imagine Elon Musk in a kung fu battle with Bruce Lee. And just to cut to the chase, Elon taps out, but then he offers best of three.
Elon has to go to the mountains of Tibet and train with the greatest, and then he will return. He'll basically do the fucking Bruce Wayne in the League of Shadows shit and come back and own Bruce Lee.
I do like this part here. Bruce opens with the signature one-inch punch. Elon doesn't dodge. He activates the Starship Pack. A burst of cold gas thrusters lifts him 3 feet off the ground just as Bruce's fist passes through the air where his solar plexus used to be.
Yep.
And apparently Elon Musk is 4 feet tall if 3 feet is enough to get him away from the one-inch punch.
Hey, don't question Grok's cinematography of fight scenes.
Oh.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's it's magical. But the story we were going to talk about this week, they're just now being shoehorned in for the ending of the show. the Epstein files, finally, Mike Johnson swore in Arizona Congresswoman and Guevara, and she put in the 218th vote. Annalena Guevara. And Lauren Boebert was taken behind the woodshed, but she didn't break. This is the thing, is that people always talk about fiction and how ridiculously bullshit things are. The Epstein files and all this kerfluffle is happening because MTG, Boebert, and Nancy Mace stood their ground against the Trump White House. Just in any work of fiction, it would be unbelievable. It would be bullshit. People would be screaming about plot armor. And yet, in reality, that's what happened. And then Trump, in a desperate effort to try to control the narrative around this thing, told Republicans to vote in favor of the Epstein release bill, And then the bill passed in the House with one no vote, which was Clay Higgins, who basically said something to the effect of, I cast a principled no vote because, I don't know, I'm defending pedophiles or whatever.
I don't, because I never want to be elected to any office again.
Right. I assume, and for Clay's sake, I also hope that he's in some sort of ultra blood red district where they will never get rid of him. So, yeah. So that happened. The bill then went to the Senate, and the Senate has a lot of really like weird rules. And one of those rules is called unanimous consent, where basically the president of the Senate, be it the vice president or whoever's running the Senate at that moment, can just say, hey, everybody, are we cool to do this? And if nobody stands up and says no, then they're like, okay, then we're doing it. And that's what happened with the Epstein Senate bill, was the president of the Senate said, hey, we're going to pass this. Is anyone against it? And no one said shit. And then he said, okay, all in favor, say aye. And so this is actually how unanimous consent works, by the way, is basically everyone who wants to say aye yells aye. And then the person says, all opposed, say nay. And then anyone who's opposed says nay. And the president of the Senate just rules who yelled louder as the winner of the two sides. But generally speaking, a unanimous consent vote, it's very obvious that the yay side is going to beat the nay side.
Yeah, it's the karaoke contest of Congress.
Yes, it really is. It's just like, who's going to win this week? Is it going to be Steve or Tammy? Tammy wins, and Steve's like, no, the crowd was way louder for me. What the fuck are you talking about? And everyone's like, give it up for Tammy, our winner. And it's like, Steve, let it go. We all wanted Tammy to win, even though we kind of like you, but just let us have our fun, Steve. Don't yuck our yum here. But yeah, so basically the bill passed the Senate immediately, and then some reporters like ran up to Speaker Johnson and said, yo, Speaker Johnson, the Senate just passed your Epstein bill and sent it right to Trump's desk. What's up about that?
And he dropped to his knees and screamed no as it started raining over him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It wasn't rain. It was flop sweat just pouring off of his forehead that he like slipped on and crashed to the ground on. Yeah, Johnson.
And it wasn't just a no, it was the Darth Vader no.
Yeah, I mean, it was just, he was just like, oh, I thought they were going to take more time discussing this. I think there were some amendments we needed to put in that bill, which I guess they didn't do. So, again, Civics 101 with Mike Rains, a show nobody wants. If a bill passes in one house and then passes in the other house slightly differently, then the bill has not passed. The bill has to go to a thing called committee, where a couple people from the House and a couple people from the Senate get together, they hash out the details, they smooth it over, and then they have the final bill that then goes back through both houses. That gets passed, and then that goes to the president, and the president signs that. So
yeah, I'm guessing Johnson wanted that to happen so that he could then torpedo the second vote.
Something, anything. Like, yeah, that's the thing, is that obviously he thought there was going to be more time for finagling, and he didn't get that, which was like obviously not what he wanted, because the way he reacted to that reporter saying, yo, the Senate just passed it. It's on Trump's desk right now waiting for his signature. And Johnson was just like, just what do you mean? How? And it's like, yeah, there's this thing called unanimous consent in the Senate. They can just literally shoot a bill up to Trump if they want to. And they did. So it happened. And just really just totally sideswiped him.
And I wish we had a video feed so you could see the look that Mike made when he did that. What? That was excellent.
Yeah. I mean, it was just really, it was crazy that they lost control of the narrative of this thing so fast that now I feel like they're just grasping at straws for what they're going to do, because now I'm seeing like Bondi and other people saying, well, there's an active investigation with the Southern District of New York, so we're going to have to do a few things. They're going to try to slow roll this. They don't want it to get out. And boy, howdy, did they get all their talking points out to all their minions and all their grifters about how Epstein was totally a Democrat, totally all about the Democrats. He's always just been with them and not us. And it's like, no.
He bled blue. He was so Democratic.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he bled blue. He was such a huge Democrat. He hates Donald Trump. Just all of it. His best friend. The guy he exchanged birthday cards with and talked about our little secret and all that stuff. I mean, just all of it. Nope. Totally cool. Totally cool. Yeah. Oh my God. Just absolute clown shit. But they're spinning. They're spinning and they're flailing and they're just doing everything they can. So. If this doesn't come out, and if it does come out, they're going to hope that they've muddied the water enough that they can be like, hey, look at this. That guy's also a pedophile. And it's like, well, it's your boy. Your boy campaigned on this. He ran on releasing the Epstein files. And now the butcher's bills come due. And it's time for him to reproduce them. So let's see it, Donnie. Let's get it out there.
Yeah, and as I keep pointing out, this is the difference, is Democrats pretty much agree that if any member of their party was partying with Epstein and little girls, then they should go to jail.
Yeah. Well, except for the Virgin Island lady. I read about that. She's like a non-voting representative for the Virgin Islands or something. And she was like involved in some finance shit and he was like texting her and so the Democrats were like, oh, we don't want to vote to censure her. I don't know what that word means.
Censure is just a slap on the wrist.
It's just saying bad job, bad boy, basically.
Yeah, but they voted against that. And they're like, well, she may have helped a pedophile financier, but she's one of ours, even though there's no voting power. Like, dude, Virgin Islands already.
I said, can you even censure a non-voting member?
I don't look at me. I'm probably wrong about all this.
But I do not care about them. And again, it's just a way to distract from Trump and his being knee deep in this story and all that kind of stuff. It's ridiculous. And I see I have seen Democrats like being interviewed and the interviewer just says, but what happens if any Democrats are caught up in this? And they're like, yeah, whatever. Don't care.
Yeah. I was trying to look it up because I can't remember who it was, but one of them literally said, so what?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Just, CNN, here it is. What if more names are connected to the Democrat Party that comes out in the files? Chris Murphy. So what? Yeah, exactly. Do not care. If Democrats are implicated, great. Fuck everyone. So, yeah. So that's where we're at. And, again, we're going to see. We're going to see how much they slow walk this. We're going to see how they work on trying to not let this out. Because, obviously, very obviously, the Trump administration thought they had more ways to sandbag this. And they didn't think the Senate was just going to say, we ain't getting in the fucking way of this shit. Fuck you. And just boom, just handed that hot potato, took that hot potato and put it right on Donald Trump's desk and say, there you go, Mr. President. Enjoy your potato. It's piping hot, fresh from the microwave.
And that's something that we didn't mention last week because it hadn't happened yet. But this whole sudden reversal by Trump where he went for months of saying, you know, stop talking about Epstein, to suddenly he's like, yes, vote yes on the Epstein files, because he realized that he looked and he's like, oh no, there's gonna be like 100 Republicans voting yes, and it's gonna make me look like an impotent old man. So I better get in front of this right now.
Oh, 100%. They had to know. They had to do a whip count. and they had to know somewhere between 150 to 150 Republicans were going to vote yes. Every Republican in a swing district that they can't gerrymander, they were all going to vote yes on this because there was no fucking way they were going to have a Democrat running attack ads against them all year going, this fucking asshole protected Donald Trump and Jeffrey Epstein. Yeah, no, thank you. I would like to remain a congressperson. Thank you very much. So not putting that vote on my record, but go fuck yourself. So yeah, they knew. They knew that the floodgates were going to open. They knew they were going to get massive defections. So they did the vote yes thing to just cover their asses. 100%. Yeah.
My my favorite thing. Oh, I just want to say, like, because I've been trying to keep up with the Epstein stuff a little bit. My favorite thing was, like, Trump. I read in an article he did some rambling, nonsensical, like run-on paragraph statement for the news or whatever. And he's going on, he's like, that guy was a pervert and I can't stand him and he was just bad news. How did you know that, dude? Are you telling me you knew he was bad but you did nothing? So it's like, even when Trump's trying to like defend himself or make himself sound good, it's like, hey, it just sounds worse.
100%.
Yeah, I saw someone making a similar statement about the about him screaming to, you know, let him hang high, where he's like, for somebody, it's like, the only reason why you would be upset about people disobeying illegal orders is if you plan on making illegal orders.
Exactly. So that's an hour. That's enough venting. I gotta get out of here. I'm going to talk to y'all later. So have a good one, everybody. If you want to continue to support the show, give us a 5-star review wherever you listen to us. If you want to do more than that, patreon.com/pokerpolitics. Send money to me. I need money. If you don't want to give money to morons, you give money to love146.org and fight human trafficking. That's a very valid thing to do. Thanks to DJ Minimal Effort and Frosty for the bumps and the music that I accidentally remixed. Thank you all for listening, and never forget that Lee Harvey Oswald acted alone in the assassination of President Kennedy.